Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling. And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Downing alongside with Joe Blewett. And sorry for the minor technical difficulties. We are live on the air tonight. And here we go. As there's so much to talk about, the NFL obviously never sleeps, and especially when it comes to Jet news. Obviously, the Mo Wilkerson situation, we'll touch on that. But let's check in with our newly found German co-host, Joe Blewett, who is still overseas in Germany. My man Joe, what's going on?
Nothing, man. You know, I've been over here for about 2 weeks now. Having some connection problems a little bit, so if you hear a train drive by and I drop, I'll call back in real quick. You know, it's been fun. We've been, you know, good bratwurst and better beer. I've been hitting the leaders all week long. You know, it's a great time over here. I'm really looking forward to talk tonight. You know, I missed last week. Obviously, I had some connection problems last week. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, hitting the Jets talk.
Well, obviously, if we lose you in any course of the show, everybody out there understand that you are. The dedication is there, Joe. Calling in on vacation overseas obviously shows that you're a dedicated Jet Nation Radio host. So let's dive right into it. So obviously right now, the big story surrounding the Jets, in which is going to grow into more and more of a story, is going to be the Mohammed Wilkerson situation. Not showing up now to mandatory meetings, not going to be around the team. What do you make of this situation, and do you see it getting worse and worse?
Oh, God. Well, we got to talk about so much tonight, Brandon. We got to talk about the draft. I didn't really get to touch on the whole Brady thing. I really don't want to get too much into it. I guess we'll touch on that in a little bit. But the whole Mohammed Wilkerson thing, you know, as soon as you knew, and I knew, as soon as we were watching the draft and you hear that you know, you see that Leonard Williams falls to the Jets at six and that the Jets actually do take him, you know, all of the talk is going to start. Are they trading him? Are they going to shop Leonard Williams and maybe trade back somehow? And, you know, all these ideas are just running through people's minds. So it's going to be a very interesting situation. And right now, I believe the OTA started today. So, and they're voluntary. So I know he's working out in Virginia, I guess with his trainer. So right now it's not a huge deal. You know, when you get into June and when you get into July and it's the mandatory camps, like we saw Revis miss a couple times, you know, that's when you start getting really worried. And right now from what I'm hearing, what I heard today, I honestly haven't really been able to be on the internet and Twitter and all this. But from what the little information I've gathered, it really does sound like, you know, that he wants Robert Quinn money. He wants J.J. Watt money, and I don't think he's going to get that.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. You have to look at it from the way that this organization is set up now. I mean, how much money are you going to invest on one side of the football? And I think that's the way they're going to look at it. You know, they had an opportunity to draft, in my opinion, the best player in the draft. A lot of people had Leonard Williams as the number one guy overall talent-wise in this draft and, you know, one of the best players coming out of college, obviously. And you didn't – you know, that was the biggest case where you see a team that's not drafting for need but drafting for talent. You see a team that sees this guy on the board and says, wow, in no way, shape, or form did we think that this guy was going to be here. And then he turns out to be there. So then you say to yourself, well, am I going to put – ridiculous amounts of money into not only the defensive line, but I've already invested so much of my cap space and so much of my money into the defensive side of the football. So at what time does this team say, you know what, we need to start saving our money. We can't put ridiculous amounts of money into our defensive line. Maybe you look for a trade or maybe you look for a different type of setting for Mo Wilkerson and you move in a different direction.
There's no doubt about it, but it just seems, you know, that people think that when we draft Leonard Williams that we have to trade Mohammed Wilkerson. I just don't think that's the case right now. You know, from what I'm hearing, the Jets are really trying to get a deal done with him. It's just the fact of money, you know, that he's looking for that $14 to $16 million year range, and the Jets are more of looking at, you know, $11 million to $12 million per year, because let's face the facts, Brandon, they're not going to be able to sign Snacks, they're not going to be able to sign Wilkerson and Sheldon, and Leonard Williams when his contract comes up. So it's definitely going to be a very interesting situation. But I think for this year, we really just have to enjoy it. But from those three guys, I think they're really going to have to pick from Sheldon Richardson and from Wilkerson and Leonard Williams, because I know a lot of people are talking about, you know, Damon Harrison leaving this team. But when you look at the Jets, the three defensive ends I just talked about, a lot of them are 3-5 techniques, and the Jets don't have – none of those guys can truly play nose tackle like Damon Harrison can. So I think that Snacks is going to stay around, and I think that they're going to have to look to do something.
Well, here's the thing, too. Sorry to cut you off there, Joe, but, I mean, here's the thing. Also, you can't put any stock into Leonard Williams right now, because – we have seen time and time again, you know, a la Vernon Golston, if I'm even allowed to say his name on the radio or even around the Jets. I mean, you can't get rid of a guy and put, you know, say, okay, we drafted Leonard Williams, so let's move on from Muhammad Wilkerson. Muhammad Wilkerson might be the best player on the New York Jets. I mean, that might be your team's franchise player. When you look at the Patriots, you have Tom Brady. When you look at the Packers, you have Aaron Rodgers. When you look at all these other teams with their franchise players, the Jets franchise guy very might well be Muhammad Wilkerson right now. So are you willing to go ahead and say, you know what, we drafted another defensive lineman, let's go ahead and get rid of him, and because of this guy? I don't think you can do that. I think if this season comes around and Leonard Williams is an absolute beast and you see the production from him like you would see out of Muhammad Wilkerson, then you have a legitimate case to say, maybe we shouldn't put so much money invested into this guy. But as we stand right now, you can't tell me that I'm moving on from Muhammad Wilkerson for a draft pick that we don't even know if he's going to pan out or not.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I completely agree with you, and that's why I think it's foolish to think that the Jets are going to, you know, move Muhammad Wilkerson before Leonard Williams really even gets the pads on, because you know, the first couple practices of rookie minicamp that Leonard Williams has had, he's been wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and yeah, you've been hearing that he's been getting to the quarterback, and he's been, you know, having these pressures. But once the pads come on, and he's going against, you know, DeBrickishaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold, not, you know, third and fourth stringers who won't even make the team, then it's going to be a little bit different. And I'm not downplaying Leonard Williams. You know, we haven't got to talk about it, Brandon, but me and Vinny talked about it, you know, the week that you were on vacation. But when you talk about a safe pick and you talk about Leonard Williams, I think other than him, it might have been Amari Cooper who is the safest pick, but it's 1A, 1B to me. So when you get that player at number six, which, by the way, just to throw it in real quick, when you see Leonard Williams on the board at number six, you know, and you all, you know, the last 2 months we've been hearing Maccagnan say, oh, it's best player available. You know, you have to weigh out best player available versus position of need. And when you see Leonard Williams on the board versus Kevin White, who I think is going to be good, but he can easily be a bust. It's happened many, many times. Look at the Raiders and Darius Hayward Bay. And then you see Vic Beasley, who, just like Vernon Golson, who you just mentioned, shot up the boards basically because of a freak combine. So when you look at those two players and you weigh them versus Leonard Williams and what he offers, and when people from around the league, no matter who it be, even if it's a guy who hates the Jets or whoever, you hear that the guy is basically virtually unblockable. You hear that at Southern California, he couldn't attack the quarterback as much because they kind of had like a read defense where he would really just be peeking the whole time to really control the run game and things like that. So when you get a player like Leonard Williams, who people call unblockable, and you put him into a defense like the Jets, you know, it's going to be really scary. And I actually found a stat today that Rex Ryan actually played only three of his defensive linemen more than, I believe it was, 300, you know, 400 snaps, and in Bowles defense last year with the Cardinals, four players exceeded 400 snaps. So, you know, we're going to have definitely a lot of snaps for all these guys. You're going to be looking at different looks with, you know, Leonard Williams, Wilkerson, Sheldon, Copels on the field. There's going to be a whole bunch of looks, and this defense just got so much scarier, Brandon. It's really going to be fun to watch this year.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you a question. We really haven't touched on this as well. What do you make of the Zach Stacy move, and what do you think about the current running back situation now?
Well, you know, everybody goes into the draft, and I was one of them in the third round. I believe it was the third round when Duke Johnson was there, and then we ended up trading down and picking up Jarvis Harrison, who I guess we'll get into Jarvis Harrison a little bit later. But, you know, we traded down, and I wanted a guy like a Duke Johnson because the Jets do need a burner. But then when you look at the Seahawks, and I'm not trying to compare the Jets to other teams. When you see the Seahawks, you know, who was their receiving back or who was their burner? I know Marshawn Lynch can catch the ball, but so can guys like Powell. And I'm not trying to, compare Marshawn Lynch to Powell, but it's, you know, we have basically three of the same running backs, so it's a little bit confusing. But when you turn a fifth-round pick into Zach Stacy and Brandon Marshall, and Zach Stacy in his first year, I know he only ran, I believe it was like 900 yards, and he only averaged 3.9 yards a carry, but he was also running behind a pretty bad offensive line. So when you turn that into a seventh-round pick, you know, you're basically taking a flyer on a guy. But Zach Stacy can catch a little bit. You have a guy in Ridley who can catch a little bit, and you know, with that pick, with us not picking up a receiving back though, I really see that Powell is going to have a more prominent role this year as a third down back. But I like Stacy's game. I don't necessarily think he's going to make the team over a guy. He's definitely not going to make it over Ivory. Ivory is honestly one of my favorite players on the Jets, just how hard he runs and how underrated a player I think he is.
Do you think it's do you think it's more along the lines of just adding depth and bringing these guys into camp and seeing who can make the team and who can't? I mean, now you got Stacy, you have Ridley, you have Ivory, you have Powell. I mean, you have a lot of guys now in this running back field. What guys do you see making the team and making an impact come the season?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question, Brennan?
Yeah, no problem. You have Stacy, you have Ridley, you have Ivory, and you have Powell. Do you see at any way that they keep all four guys, or do you think that they're going to, you know, pick the three best and move with those guys come this season?
Oh no, I definitely think that they're going to have to choose, because when you look at, you know, all
are you hiding? Are you hiding from German soldiers right now in Germany?
No, I actually had to move inside because I was getting, I don't know what the guy was actually saying, but I was kind of getting shooed out of the balcony. But I moved inside really quick. But let's take that your question was, what, they're not going to keep all the four running backs. So I don't think so, because when me and Vinny talked about it, you know, last week,
I got to be honest with you, this whole voice that you have going on, I mean, if there's any females listening to this show right now, Joe, you might be a big hit with the ladies. You kind of have this, like, this deep, quiet, you know, I think the Jets, you look at their four running back situations, and, you know, I think Zach Stacy might be a good asset, and I kind of like it. I mean, if the female audience is listening to the show right now, you are catching Joe Blewett in his like late night radio voice with the ladies on Sirius XM or something like that.
It's more of less not my sexy voice. It's me trying not to get pots and pans thrown at me in the middle of the night in Germany, because over here right now it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and they're not really liking me talking on the phone on the balcony.
all right, guys, keep going.
So it's more of less my, I think it's more of a creepy voice. But no, you know, when you look at the other positions on the team, you know, and you look at outside linebacker and all the you know, competition there. You have guys like Babin and Pace and Malden now, and IK. And then you look at safety. We got some guys there. You got Darrell Eskridge, who came in, who was supposed to be, you know, a fifth or fourth round draft pick and fell into us in unrestricted free agency. You look at corners with guys like Marcus Williams, you know, at 6 and 7. I don't think there's a need at running back for four different guys. Maybe you stash a guy like a Stacy, who I think would get picked up. I don't think he'd be able to be on the practice squad. But then you have a guy like Darrell Richardson who can possibly have a practice squad. So I don't think, you know, when it all comes down, I don't think that Zach Stacy's going to be on the team. I think it's going to be, you know, Ivory, Ridley, and Powell going into the season with Powell being our third down back.
Yeah, but I also look at Zach Stacy's, you know, body of work, though. And, I mean, at times, this guy really has shown that he has the ability to not only be, you know, an asset in the running game, but he has the ability to really be, you know, a starting running back in this league. I mean, when you look at his numbers overall, obviously last year, 76 attempts for 293 yards. But let's look at his year in 2013. I mean, when he got the ball like a starting running back 250 times, he had 973 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, I think if you compare, you know, as much as the Jet fan likes Bilal Powell and thinks that Powell, you know, is a good, you know, asset on this team, if it comes down to Zach Stacy versus a Bilal Powell, Stacy might beat him out for the job, in my opinion, because, I mean, this guy really has shown, Joe, that if he gets opportunities, he can, you know, get out in open space and really make some plays and be a running back that they can rely on down after down.
Oh yeah, no, it's and you know, it's not like the coaches next year are Rex Ryan and Marty Mornway, so they have no ties to Bilal Powell. So if you know, it's not like he has a leg up in the competition. If Zach Stacy comes into training camp and he proves that he can catch the ball and that he can be an efficient third down back, which I really think Powell would be for us this year, then I see no reason for Bilal Powell to be on the team. Even though I like him, it's not like he has his $2 million, I believe it's a little bit over $2 million. It's not, none of it's guaranteed money, so they can cut him very, very easily and not be affected by it. So, you know, to take a seventh round flyer on a guy like Stacy, when usually seventh rounder is you know, a throwaway practice body in most cases, like a Deion Simon, who I really don't think is going to make it on his team either, by the way, because you look at the depth and you look at Bowen, you look at Vickerson, you look at TJ Barnes. I really don't think a guy like that's going to make the roster. So, you know, you maybe take a seventh round corner and he's a practice squad player. So when you talk about a guy like Stacy, who, you know, you just talked about his production, he ran the ball very, very well his rookie year. And then for some reason the Rams drafted, you know, Trey Mason, and he came, he was a second, he was a second string back. So can he be a third string back, the third down running back here? I definitely think he has a shot to make the roster. I wouldn't, you know, necessarily write him off right now.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Jet Nation Radio. When we come back, we're going to dive more into some draft talk. Obviously, we'll talk more about the Jets and their offseason and how we think they did, and also dive in a little bit more to Muhammad Wilkerson and Robert Kraft's press conference today. We'll touch on the whole Deflategate and, again, how it affects the Jets as well. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling with Late Night Joe Blewett live from Germany. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Pack in the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk it better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on for your... Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information, using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
amazing.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowd.
And the home of the Jets.
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. So let's also dive into this topic here, Joe, before we, you know, jump into the other ones. What did you make of the Bryce Petty pick in the fourth round?
You know, at that point, I really didn't mind it. I was talking to a couple people on Twitter who really wanted a quarterback in the second and third round, and I really disagreed with that because I said it in the prior shows before the draft. I really didn't think any quarterback other than Mariota or even Winston was worth more than a third round pick. So when we took the guy in the fourth round, you take a flyer on a guy like Bryce Petty who. All you hear about him is that he has, really good character. He's a really good leader. He has a size for the NFL. I believe he's 6'2 or 6'3. And he has a cannon. He has a really good deep ball. But, the fans, I think that he's going to come out and he's going to compete for a starting job right now in training camp, I think is absolutely ridiculous. Well, because, one, he's not going to get the snaps. He's going to be getting, the third team snaps. He's going to be competing more with Matt Sims than he will be competing with Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, I like the pick, but for the fans who think that he's going to, start this year, I think it's ridiculous. But, in a year or two, if he can come in and he can prove himself and he can be a Jets starting quarterback, then you have a steal. But if not, there's no pressure because he's a fourth-round quarterback. So do I like the pick? I definitely like it, but he's definitely not pushing for a job this year.
Definitely. And here's how I look at this pick. I mean, when you hear people talk about him, and you hear everybody, kind of give their opinion on him. The general consensus is that this guy is like Mike Mayock was saying live when they drafted him, that he's like a redshirt NFL QB. And a lot of people, I heard a couple scouts say that he actually has the best potential outside of Jameis Winston, that he thought he was the second best quarterback in this draft, talent-wise. So obviously there's a quarterback there, you're taking up in the fourth round. You knew the Jets were going to add another quarterback somehow, some way, and one that might be involved in the future because you look at Geno Smith and you look at the direction that this team is going, this is going to be the put up or shut up year for Geno Smith. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. You're either going to, go with him this year and, see how everything works out. Or and if he does well and you keep him on this team, he's going to be a low salary type guy. He's not going to be in demand at all in terms of a big contract. So you take a guy like Petty, who's going to be here, obviously, for the next 3 or 4 years, and you see what happens. Because if Geno Smith comes out this year and Geno Smith lays an egg, and then you're going into next season and you're saying, well, who are we going to turn to at quarterback? Well, now you have that quarterback that you thought that had a lot of potential, that has a lot of ability to play football and obviously has talent at the position, who sat out a full year, who's not getting thrown into the fire right off the bat, like Geno Smith, like Mark Sanchez. I mean, those were rookie quarterbacks that they just threw in there and basically said, here you go, get right after it, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, no, and that's it, and you made a great point there. With Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith getting thrown into the fire, that's exactly why I don't understand fans who are wanting, Bryce Petty to actually compete for a starting job. You look at a kid; he has a size. He's 6'3", 230. But then you look at 97% of his snaps were from shotgun. I know it's not that big of a deal, but it is because at Baylor he was at a one read system where he basically just snapped the ball, and he just threw up a deep ball. He didn't really have to read the play a lot. He didn't have to drop back, so you didn't really get to see a whole bunch of his pocket awareness and how he moves around in the pocket, how he steps up in the pocket, and how he takes pressure. So he's definitely going to learn maybe for a year, maybe even two years. I don't think 3 years necessarily, but, to expect him to start this year is ridiculous. So 1 or 2 years, you have a guy with strength. You have a guy who's mobile. You have a guy who's big. You hear he's a good leader. He's very vocal in the locker room. So to take a fourth-round flyer on a guy, when our quarterback situation right now is Geno Smith, who could easily come out and, you know, well, hopefully we're praying to God that he can be a decent quarterback. And you have a guy in Ryan Fitzpatrick who, yeah, he's capable and he can, you know, hold down the job for a couple games and not completely screw you over, but he's not a long-term solution. So to take a flyer on a guy who could potentially turn out to be something, obviously history says it's not when, you know, you look at some of the fourth-round quarterbacks. But, you know, take a flyer. But, Brandon, I definitely need to get your opinion. Just on Leonard Williams, I didn't really get to hear your whole opinion on what you thought when the Jets, well, one, when he was on the board, and then two, when they actually took him.
Well, first, before we dive into that, we actually got a caller on the line. We got Zach on the line who wants to talk about the draft. Zach, you're live on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Zach?
I want to talk about, the Jets quarterback situation, you know, with Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, Matt Sims, you know, even, not even Bryce Petty. You know, the bottom line is that, you know, the quarterback situation is not looking good, you know, and, you know, they're going to need help. You know, they don't know if she knows the answer. I honestly think, you know, enough is enough. You know, you got to, like, look at it. You got to look at it long term. You got to look at it, you know, now. Look at this team now. Look how they're built. Look what McCagnan did in the offseason. This team is ready to win now. You know, and I just don't think Geno Smith is that guy. I think he was a bust right when the Jets drafted him, you know.
Hold on. Sorry to cut you off. What do you want them to do? If you were sitting in the GM position right now and you inherited this quarterback situation, what other options and what else would you have done out there to improve the quarterback situation right now?
I would look at anybody besides Geno Smith. That's, you know, just because he did really, really well in that last game, you know, that doesn't really prove to, you know, to me that he's, you know.
But who else are you looking at? If out of everybody in the offseason who was a free agent quarterback and pretty much available to trade for, what other quarterback? I mean, you think that are you going to look at outside of, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick and then you look at like a Josh McCown? I mean, what other options? Who else are you adding here?
I mean, you got to look at guys like, you know, Fitzpatrick would probably be probably for this year, but in terms of long term, I'd probably have to go with Bryce Petty.
Right, but they added Bryce Petty, so their quarterback situation right now. I mean, I don't see what else they could have done this offseason to improve it outside of trading up and potentially drafting Marcus Mariota or even trading up to number one and drafting Jameis Winston. I think you have to look at it from this point of view. I wouldn't go ahead and call Geno Smith a bust right off the bat. I mean, I think that's, you know, again, you're looking at a situation of a team that drafted a guy in the second round who wasn't ready to start, who Mark Sanchez got, you know, injured in the preseason game. He gets thrown into the fire. He has a decent rookie year, up and down like a heart rate monitor, and then comes in and, you know, obviously we know the rest after that. So I think that you're looking at Geno Smith and everybody is, and I'm not a Geno Smith supporter whatsoever. I think this is his year for him to be able to either say, I'm the guy and I'm going to be a quarterback here for the next 5 to 7 years, or I'm going to be gone. So I'm not going to, you know, when you look at the Jets overall quarterback situation, I think it's the best it possibly can be. You had to say that you needed to go out and add a veteran quarterback and add somebody that can come in and make plays and know Gailey's system, and they did that. They went out and they got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, in my opinion, is the best stopgap quarterback that you have out there. If Geno Smith is in the middle of the season here, and that's just saying that Geno Smith is going to start right off the bat, which I think he is, because I don't think the Jets really want Ryan Fitzpatrick out there as their week one quarterback when they still have money and time invested into Geno Smith. But if you bring Ryan Fitzpatrick in week three or four, he's not going to, you know, have excessive turnovers and be a guy that's just as much careless with the football like Michael Vick was last year with Geno Smith. So when we came into this year, we all said the Jets need to do two things. They need to add a quarterback in free agency or via trade, and they need to add a quarterback through the draft. And they did both those things. They added Ryan Fitzpatrick as the veteran presence who knows Gailey's system and produced under Chan Gailey. And then you went out and you traded up in the fourth round to draft Bryce Petty, who has tremendous upside. And again, what's the risk in drafting him there? It's not like you're drafting a high pick quarterback. If you're drafting Marcus Mariota at second overall in the draft, you better really think that this guy is going to be your franchise player and going to be here for the next 5 to 7 years. Otherwise, you've wasted yet another high pick on a quarterback. So I look at the Jets quarterback situation, and I don't think that they're going to get any help because I think that they've done everything right in doing the best they can to improve it this offseason.
Right, definitely. I think they, you know, they definitely did. They did their job in the offseason. They definitely got some help at quarterback position. You know, the question now is, you know, who's going to be their guy? You know, is it going to be Fitzpatrick? Can he last the whole season? Can he be consistent?
No, the guy is Geno Smith. That's the guy right now. I mean, there's no doubt in the organization, Geno Smith is the quarterback of the New York Jets as we sit here right now. I mean, that's just. The GM has said it, the coach has said it. Everybody in this organization will come out and tell you that they believe in Geno Smith. Why? Because he's a young quarterback, he's going into year three, and now we're going to sit here and say it's put up or shut up time for him. And they know that, the organization knows that. So I don't think there's any doubt who's the guy right now who's going to be the quarterback and who they want to start and who's going to be the starter going into the preseason and even into week one. I mean, they're going to tell you it's an open competition, but if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback week one for the New York Jets, they're in a big, big trouble. That's what they're in. Because if Ryan Fitzpatrick is your go-to guy right off the bat, that means Geno Smith is done, okay? He's finished. If he doesn't start week one, his career as a New York Jet will be over unless Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt. So I don't think that their quarterback situation is god-awful. I mean, I think that it's going to be the year where either Geno Smith steps up, makes an impact, and says, you know what, I can be a decent quarterback in this league and lead the Jets to wins, or you're going to see a team that goes with Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year, and then they start from square one with either Bryce Petty or another quarterback next year. So I think that they really played the quarterback, the whole quarterback position, very well this offseason.
Right, definitely. I definitely agree with you. You know, they obviously did play very well. You know, it's going to be to Geno Smith. You know, they got him some weapons. They got him Devin Smith, the long ball threat. You know, they got Brandon Marshall. Now you have Eric Decker. And now you have Jeremy Curley in the slot. You know, they're giving him enough option. You know, enough weapons at the receiver position. It's just a matter of him, if he can make the plays, you know, if he can be consistent. You know, it's really up to Geno. You know, if Geno can take charge and be like, okay, you know, I'm going to take this team, you know, I'm going to try to do whatever I can, you know. He's got to be accountable if he makes mistakes. But then, you know, this is what we said last year, you know. We said, you know, he kept making the same rookie mistakes, you know. His pocket presence wasn't so, you know, very good. You know, don't get me wrong, I still think Geno Smith has a lot of potential. But, you know, I believe it's do or die for him. You know, he's got to prove his point already. He's got to show, you know, the Jets, you know, why he should be their quarterback, you know, of the future, and, you know, not anybody else.
Absolutely, and thanks for the call, Zach. But, I mean, you basically, you know, in the beginning, now I'm going to sit here and say it 700 times. when you looked at the quarterback position, your point that you were making in the beginning of the call was, you know, that they overall that it was a disaster and they needed some help. But I honestly don't think that that's the case. I think that they really, and I don't know if you agree with this, Joe, I think they did the best they could in improving the depth at the quarterback position, and they did everything that they were going to say they were going to do.
Yeah, well, exactly. When you look at the quarterback situation, you look at who's in free agency, it was guys like Hoyer, it was guys like Mallett possibly being available, it was guys like McCown, like you said, it was guys like Castle. So when you got a guy like in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, yes, you can argue that he was the best quarterback option in free agency this year. You get him, and then Bowles and McCagnan come out and say they would like to add more quarterback competition. They get a guy in Bryce Petty in the fourth round, not in the second or the third. And then you get a guy in Gailey who runs a spread, which obviously Geno ran in West Virginia, and you get him weapons like Brandon Marshall. Just like Zach said, they got Curley in the slot now, playing his natural position. You get a guy like Ridley, who could be underrated. He had a really good year in 2012 when he had 1,200 rushing yards. And then I know the offensive line isn't, you know, it's not stacked, but you get Carpenter in here at left guard, who's an upgrade, I think. And then, yeah, the right guard spot's a little shaky right now, but you have a whole bunch of guys, and I can start, you know, naming off a whole bunch of names of who could potentially be right guard. So you address the offensive line almost as best you could. So he has the weapons. the first year he was obviously rushed into it. Mark Sanchez sort of never been playing, you know, in the, I believe it was in the fourth quarter in the Snoopy Bowl in the preseason. It's just another dumb mistake that Rex Ryan made. Not sorry to take a shot at him, but, you know, he should have never been starting that year. And then last year, you know, when he had Decker on the field, he looked decent. So I think he's the quarterback answer? If I had to pick yes or no right now, I would probably say no. But to write a guy off who's in his third year and who already needed to sit for a year, I think it's a little bit crazy, especially when you have a new coach, a new offensive coordinator, coming in here. So I think it's definitely time to put up or shut up. But you know, if he fails this year,
well, you're stealing my lingo now.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And then you look at the roster too, which is the scary part about it, and which is that's why the Bryce Petty pick is a little bit of a question mark. For me, it's the only way I can question it, because if you look at Geno Smith this year, if he fails, and you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you know, obviously he's not going to be here, you know, for 3+ years, he might be here next year, but you can't look at him as the long-term solution or the quarterback who's going to take you to the Super Bowl. But next year, if, you know, if he fails this year, the Jets are going to be they're going to have to, in my opinion, they're going to have to trade up for a guy like Hackenberg or a guy like Cook or a guy like Cardale Jones in the first round.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, that's if you think that. But again, Bryce Petty might turn into something great here, and again, we have no idea. But here's my honest opinion on Geno Smith. Here is, when I look at Geno Smith, this is what I'm thinking. Okay. The guy came into his first year here and we all had zero expectations for him. I mean, everybody came out and said, you got a rookie quarterback. Their roster was very, very, very weak. I mean, they did not have a good roster. We all sit there and we laughed that he was throwing a Clyde Gates and Stephen Hill and all these scrub wide receivers. But yet Geno Smith played well at times. You know, it was a win one. It was every week. It was win one, lose one, win one, lose one. And he showed you signs of being a good quarterback. And the problem in what he did to himself was, and this is not really a problem, this is just the way it works in sports, is he created an expectation. Because when he finished his first year very strong in his last four games, and, you know, gave everybody a little bit of hope, saying, okay, wow, you know, you'd finish 8-8, you bring Rex Ryan back, you're dumping water, you know, the Gatorade cooler on him in the last game, you're doing the whole locker room thing where the coach is coming back, Geno played well, you're happy with the team, Mark Sanchez is gone. They said, Geno Smith, this is your football team now. You finished your rookie year, you know, you're on a high note. We finished 8-8. We were not an 8-8 football team. It was a very, very lucky 8-8. Everybody knew that, but they said, Geno Smith, you're the guy. And what happened was, it created a level of expectation with Jet fans, and it created a level of expectation with Geno Smith that he apparently, obviously, wasn't ready for. We came in off of an 8-8 season, and what did we say to ourselves? Well, if we finished 8-8 last year with this roster, and we went out and we added this group of people, and this guy, and this guy, and this guy, we're saying to ourselves, wow, you know, this team could really finish between 8 to 10 wins again and maybe make the playoffs. And Geno Smith had himself a pretty good training camp in preseason. You know, he came out in training camp and in preseason, and he looks light years ahead of where he was last year. He's way ahead of where people thought he was going to be. And our expectations were, wow, this guy is really going to turn into a decent quarterback for us. I think we have something here. And then he fell flat on his face. And he could not have fell flat on his face any worse than he did last year. And what does that immediately do? We're going to write him off. And that's fine, because do you know what the expectation is for Geno Smith this year? It's the same as when he came into his rookie year. Nothing. There's no expectation for Geno Smith. Why? Because everybody already has deemed him a bust, a non-future player on this team, and someone who's just going to be here for another year before they go out and find a real quarterback to take over. That's what everybody thinks about Geno Smith. Do I have confidence in Geno Smith? No. Do you have confidence in Geno Smith? No. Is there any Jet fan out there that has confidence in Geno Smith? Probably not. So if Geno Smith comes out there in the first four games of the year and throws 10 touchdown passes and 2 interceptions, we're all going to sit here and go, wow, we really weren't expecting this. This guy's really playing his tail off, and he's really proving everybody wrong. But if he comes out and throws 5, 6 interceptions and 2 touchdown passes in the first 3 or 4 games, what are we all going to look to ourselves and say? Well, that's the Geno Smith that we know that we were expecting. So it's like Geno Smith can come in this year and kind of play with a house of cards where it's like, I don't have any expectations. Everybody assumes that I'm not going to be here after this year or next year, and I'm not the future. I'm just going to go out and play football. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to prove some people wrong. And that's my opinion on Geno Smith this year, because if he can come out and just get back to playing football and playing with no expectations, without the weight of the world on his shoulders, I really think that he can be a decent player in the league. I really do. I think his biggest problem was himself. He got ahead of himself last year. The fan base got ahead of themselves on him. The coaching staff got ahead of themselves on him. And even he got ahead of themselves on himself.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm not blaming Ryan for this too, but you look at the Bills game and you hear the stories that after the game that he was supposed to be forcing the ball to Percy Harvin. We don't know if that's true or not, but let's get realistic that Rex Ryan wasn't exactly, you know, a competent coach with developing quarterbacks. And you look at Mark Sanchez, he was thrown into the fire. You look at Geno Smith, he was thrown into the fire. So, you know, he does give you those expectations. Like you said, the end of his rookie year, those couple games against the Browns, the Panthers, and the Dolphins, and I believe it was the Raiders, he looked very good. And then you look at the last four games this year, the last quarter of the season, I believe he had 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I don't know the exact, you know, percentages and all that, but he looked pretty good at the end of this year too. And then you bring in a spread offense coordinator with Chan Gailey. You bring in more weapons. You definitely want to see what the guy can do. But you know, the thing with Bryce Petty, like you said, he might be a diamond in the rough. But the only problem is if Geno Smith fails this year, you really can't go into the season with, you know, Bryce Petty being the savior. Because if you go all out with Bryce Petty next year and he fails, then you basically just set your franchise back another 2 years when you could have been, you know, trading up for a Hackenberg or a Cardell Jones or one of these guys.
Yeah,
the quarterback situation,
but I think that's going to be what would happen though of any type of situation, because I mean, if I'm looking at the Jets, and obviously this year the only way that Bryce Petty sees the field this year is if either, you know, Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick get injured and he's the third string quarterback on this team, that's where he's going to see the field. And I mean, look at any other football team. How do you think any other football team in this league would do with their third string quarterback on the field in an NFL football game? I mean, that's how you have to think about it. If the Patriots or the Packers or the Seahawks were playing with their third string quarterback out there, how do you think they would do?
Or their second string.
Well,
the Patriots will figure out what it's like to play the second string.
But I mean, that's how you got to look at it, because if Geno Smith fails miserably this year, you say to yourself, okay, we drafted Bryce Petty to be a potential, you know, I mean, unless the Jets, honest to God, unless the Jets really finish this year, which I don't see it happening. I see the Jets being very, very competitive and even being a good football team this year. So, I mean, I'm not even going to sit here and deny it. With the changes that they made, and the additions in the secondary and the additions to the wide receiving corps, I think this football team is really looking the best they've looked in a long time, talent-wise. So I honestly think the Jets could be in anywhere from an 8-10 win football team if they get decent play out of the quarterback position. I mean, you look at the years when they were going to the AFC Championship game, they didn't have Joe Montana lighting it up and throwing 4 touchdowns every football game. They were doing just enough to win, and they were playing, you know, not to lose at the quarterback position. I mean, if you even get minimal, and you know, you're not turning the ball over, and you're not shooting yourselves in the foot, I honestly think this is going to be a good football team. So, but unless the Jets, you know, this season finish 3-13 or 4-12 and just have another horrible season. I don't think they're going to be in a position to trade up for a quarterback next year, because I don't think they're going to have to. I think they're going to look at a guy like Bryce Petty and say to themselves, you know, where are you going to be next year? You know, is Geno Smith going to be around? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to be around? And you're finally going to have a rookie quarterback, Joe. You're finally going to have a rookie quarterback that people say has talent, that people say can, you know, be an NFL player if he sits out a season and watches and learns. We've never seen a rookie quarterback, at least in our era, sit down and sit for a year and watch and learn. Every rookie quarterback that we've seen gets thrown into the fire day one. And guess what? They fail. That's my that's my big legitimate thing here when I'm looking at a guy like this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this guy's going to be the starting quarterback of the Jets next year or he's going to be a great player in this league. He could just be a journeyman backup and probably play 10 snaps in his whole career. I don't know. But you're finally taking a guy with a very, very high reward and low risk being a fourth-round pick, and you're letting him sit out for a year. You're letting him learn an NFL system. He might be able to turn into something that is going to be a productive quarterback. The Jets haven't seen that in a very long time. So I think that overall, the Jets are going to be a good football team this year. I don't think they're going to be one of the teams that are going to be desperate to trade up to draft a quarterback next year. But the only way I see them doing that is, like I said, if you're finishing 3-13, 4-12, and they're just, you know, you've tried, Bryce. Because if they're to a point where this year, and I'll tell you this right now, that they're just losing bad. I mean, every week, that they're just getting crushed and they're not, you know, performing on the offensive side of the ball, and Geno Smith stinks and Ryan Fitzpatrick stinks, and both these quarterbacks go out there every week and they can't move the football and they're turning the ball over like crazy and they're just putting them in horrible positions to win games, I wouldn't be surprised to see the coaching staff just say, what do we have to lose? Go out there, kid. Let's see what you have. And if we get to that point of the year, that's when you know, okay, we're back to square one. We need to draft the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no, I don't. I really, you know, I can almost bet my whole entire bank account, which it isn't much right now because I'm in Germany spending all my money. But, you know, I don't think that the Jets are going to be 4-12 or 3-13. When you look at defense, which we don't really have to talk about with Leonard Williams, then you see, you know, outside linebackers in need. We grab a guy like Lorenzo Maldon in the third round, who I really think who might maybe not start over Calvin Pace right in the beginning of the year, but who I think might be starting, you know, midway through the year because he can basically do a little bit of everything. But I don't want to get, you know, too much into him. I want to get into, you know, your points. But I just think that if the Jets, I'm not necessarily saying that if they think a quarterback might be the guy next year that they'll trade up, but I think if they see a guy like a Hackenberg or like a Cook, and they think that he's definitely going to be a good quarterback, and the Jets still have a big question mark at the quarterback position, and they're, you know, sitting at 20, and they have to give up, you know, multiple first round picks to go up and get that guy. I think they have to. In my personal opinion, I think they would have to do it just because you can't, you know, you don't have huge expectations for a guy like Bryce Petty. But then, you know, when you're talking about the roster, like I just said, we looked at the needs this offseason, Brandon. And, you know, his outside linebacker, we got Lorenzo Maldon. And I'm not saying these guys are going to be, you know, Pro Bowlers. And I'm not saying, you know, we're a 12-win team. But just on paper, if you give – I'm not going to say Tom Brady because I hate him. But if you give Aaron Rodgers this roster, I would almost be able to guarantee that they're going to win at least 11, 12 games. So we definitely have a talented roster. And you know, we looked at the holes. We looked at even little things like blocking tight end. We got Kellen Davis. You look at outside linebacker, you get Lorenzo Maldon. We needed a speed receiver because we have, you know, the route runner in Eric Decker. We have the shifty guy in Curley. We have the big, you know, the big body guy in Marshall. And then we get a guy like Devin Smith, who was probably the fastest receiver and the best deep ball tracker in the last couple of years at a wide receiver. So we definitely have a roster to succeed. But if Geno doesn't, you know, this year with all the weapons and the defense around him, it's, you know, with this defense, Brandon, and you look at this defensive line, nobody's running on this team. You had Leonard Williams. That just makes it 10 times worse because this defensive line is seriously going to be absolutely frightening, in my opinion, because I really think Leonard Williams is going to be a stud. And you look at the secondary, you look at the linebackers, nobody's going to score a lot of points on this defense, in my personal opinion. And Geno's not going to have a lot of pressure. He has to score, you know, 17 to 20 points a game. And I obviously know that's not what we exactly want with weapons that we have on offense, but there's not a whole bunch of pressure on him. You know, it's not like we have a defense like or one of these bad defenses. We don't have the defense of the Colts, who the only good player on that defense is probably Vontae Davis. He doesn't need to put up 30, 40 points a game, and he needs to put up 17, 20, 24 points and not turn the ball over. So he doesn't have, He's not in a bad situation. He's probably in the best situation he can possibly have. And I'm not trying to compare him to Mark Sanchez, but Mark Sanchez is, you know, rookie year in 2009 and 2010 when he had that great offensive line and Braylon Edwards and these good receivers. It's equal to that, if not better. So this is Geno's year to prove it. And you know, he has no excuses. If not, in my opinion, I would like the Jets to go and trade up for one of these three quarterbacks. So I'm not saying it, you know, Cardale Jones and Hackenberg and all these guys are going to be top 10 quarterbacks. They can easily fall, just like a guy like Brett Hundley. I remember in 2013, he was supposed to be a top, you know, a first-round pick, and he fell into, what was it, the fifth round to the Packers. So you don't necessarily know with the quarterbacks, but the quarterback situation is definitely very interesting, and we have the roster. It's just, you know, we have a huge question at the most important position on this team, and that's why, you know, you have people pegging the Jets at, you know, 6-10, and then you have other people saying they can get 10 or 11 wins. It just really depends on how Geno Smith plays. And, you know, he shows the flashes, Brandon. He can make the throws. He can make the deep throws. You've seen a couple of throws this year where he fits it into windows that are almost unbelievable. And I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but you go back to that New England game, and he throws that spiral right over Revis's head. It goes right to Decker on the sideline. You know, he can make the throws, but then he makes the decisions where he throws it into double coverage, or he throws the ball up, or he just makes a poor read. Or like his rookie year, when he tried to put the ball behind his back, he makes those stupid mistakes. It's all mental for him, and I think that the mental part of it is 80% of the game. So it's a huge question mark. He has a physical talent, but you're hoping that a guy like Gailey, who you've seen with guys like Thigpen and guys like Fitzpatrick, he got him that huge deal after, I believe it was the 2010 season with Fry Fitzpatrick, that he got him that like $56 million contract. So you're hoping that a guy like Gailey, who's done a lot with, not a lot, but he's done a decent amount with lesser quarterbacks than Geno Smith, you know, you hope to see what Geno Smith can do in this offense. And then you look at Gailey's weapons with the Bills when Ryan Fitzpatrick was there. They had T.J. Graham, and they had Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, but they didn't have a Brandon Marshall or a Decker or this defense. So, you know, this is a big year for Gailey, too. I really want to see what Gailey can do. I really hope he's not disappointing, like a Morning Wagon, like a Soprano, and like a Schottenheimer. We've seen some bad quarterbacks, and we've seen some even worse offensive coordinators.
Yep. I completely agree. I mean, you touched on everything that I'm thinking. I just has to be one of those situations where, I mean, where else do you turn to right now? I mean, it's going to be Geno Smith or bust this year. If Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing, it's because Geno Smith again fell flat on his face. And I honestly look at the situation and I say to myself, Ryan Fitzpatrick is so much of an upgrade as a backup quarterback than Michael Vick. I mean, you can't even compare. I mean, I was such an anti Michael Vick guy all last year because you have to have a backup quarterback, a veteran backup that's going to come in and going to say, okay, the reason why I'm playing is because I'm setting the tone for the game. I'm going to slow this football game down, and I'm going to put my team, even though I'm probably not going to move the football and I'm not going to make big plays, I'm going to not turn the football over, and I'm going to, you know, calm the storm and, you know, kind of take control of the football game and give our team a chance to win. Michael Vick is more of a turnover machine than Geno Smith is. So when you bring a quarterback in that's a backup, that is more careless with the football than the starting quarterback, it's almost like an oxymoron to have Michael Vick as Geno Smith's backup. And I said that all last year because guess what? The reason why Michael Vick was there was to be the guy to come in and be a stopgap player and make things happen when Geno Smith falls flat on his face, if he does. And he did. And what did Michael Vick come in and do? He came in, fell flat on his face, and said he wasn't prepared. That's not a backup quarterback, okay? That's just as much of a careless quarterback who doesn't deserve to be on the football team. Now you're bringing in a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, if Geno Smith throws three interceptions in the first half of a football game and the Jets are down 17-7 or something like that, he's going to come in and say, look, we're going to slow the game down, we're going to run the ball, we're going to get some opportunities with the play-action pass, and we're going to move the ball with some quick throws. That's what Ryan Fitzpatrick brings to the table, which is so much more beneficial for this organization and for this offense, because you can bring in a quarterback that you're going to trust to give yourself a decent chance to win. That's what he does. He's not going to throw three interceptions or run around and fumble the football or be careless with the ball. That's where I really like bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick, because if the Jets are sitting at 2-3 or 2-4 to start the year, and it's because of Geno Smith turning the ball over at an alarming rate, and he just doesn't have this, you know, he's just not the guy that anybody even thinks he remotely is, then Ryan Fitzpatrick can come in and slow everything down and give the Jets a chance to win football games. And the one way he'll do that is by not turning the football over. That's the Jets' biggest issue, and it's been their biggest issue for as long as we can remember now, is turning the football over. If you have a quarterback in place that can come in and slow the game down, that can calm everything down, that can give you a chance with the football, that can move the football, I think the Jets will be in good shape if Geno Smith falls flat on his face. And then you say to yourself, well, what are we going to do for the future? I think the Jets are really going to take this thing one year at a time, and they're not going to worry about too much down the road of, you know, what's going to happen at the quarterback position, because you're going to give these guys a chance. You're going to give Geno Smith a chance, and you're going to give Bryce Petty a chance maybe next year or the year after to see what he can do. I don't think that they're going to take this too much long term. They're going to look at it year to year. Okay, where do we need to improve? This year they came into it and said, look at our team last year. We have to improve in the secondary. They dumped a boatload of money into it. They added the best cornerback in football back. They made big splashes in the secondary. They added defensive manpower, and now they're going to sit there and think to themselves, does this team give us a good chance to win? And I think it does. I think it does. Touch on your question that you asked me before, Joe, about Leonard Williams, I honestly love the pick. I think that you're sitting in a position and you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, how is this guy even on the board right now? And any time that you're saying that to yourself, when you're a fan watching the draft, or when you're in the draft room, wherever the case may be, whenever there's a player on the board that you thought was not possible for you to land, and the people are talking about being the best player in the draft overall, I think the Jets got a steal. There was no way around picking him. You had to make that move. They did it. I give this entire offseason an A overall.
Yeah, well, quick on Leonard Williams, when you hear guys compare him to, floor of a Muhammad Wilkerson, but not floor, a poor man's Muhammad Wilkerson at worst case scenario, but then you hear guys, him being and Richard Seymour and J.J. Watt and Sue, he's being compared to all these guys, so I definitely like the pick compared to, Vic Beasley might have been a more of a position of need outside linebacker, but when you have a guy, Leonard Williams, who's probably the safest pick in the draft, either him or Cooper, you definitely take him there. And McKagan was tested big time there. He said best player available. He picked best player available. So I really like what he did in his first true test, at least draft-wise. And one more thing about Petty, I love how Todd Bowles already came out and said, we're not expecting him to start. He's going to sit. So I definitely love that. And I'm not trying to be a homer here, Brandon, but everything I've heard from, McKagan and his philosophies and how smart he talks and how honest he is and the things you hear from Bowles with I forget the quote, Brandon, because I'm actually sitting on a dark balcony right now, but I'll bring it up next week. I'll be sure to remind you, but they removed the Play Like a Jet logo, and it was like I think it said skill wins games, but intelligence and teamwork wins championships. So to put that on the wall, I definitely like that. And
look
and
at you, you're all over it. Even from overseas, you're all over it, man. I mean, listen, I'm with you. I think everything that they have done so far, time's going to tell, obviously, when you get to the football field. But overall, I think that they've done a good job. I think that everything has really transitioned well. But obviously, we are running out of time here on Jet Nation Radio, and we want to remind everybody that the sports talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. It always continues around the clock on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding every single day with new members joining it, talking Jets football. You want to talk about the Deflategate and Tom Brady and what you think of that. You want to talk about the draft still and how you think the Jets did. You want to talk overall offseason. You want to talk OTAs. You want to talk training camp. You even want to dive into next season. It's all every single day at your fingertips on your computer on Jet Nation Radio and on JetNation.com. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. And, Joe, we want to wish you a safe travels back home. Whenever you decide to come home from Germany, stay safe out there. Don't get captured, okay?
I am very excited to come home and have some buffalo chicken pizza. And next show, I'm definitely excited to get into the draft a little bit more, to talk a little bit about Brady and actually be able to, speak with a normal voice. So I'm definitely excited to come back.
I am sure that the ratings for this show will be very female based with your sexy Joe Blewett low Germany balcony voice. And for that reason, we will see you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.